We've been in a time of 21 days of fasting and praying, and this is 21. And Pastor Scotty was talking to the youth when we were beginning this, and he just kind of let out of the bag how Sister Donna and I fast, and one of our young ladies says, don't he know they could die? Millie, I'm not dead yet, so hello. When God leads you to do something, you're going to be all right. Can you say amen? But I want to say thank you to each and every one of you that have taken time to fast and pray. Well, Brother Dawes, I wish I'd have got in. It's not too late. This is day 21. You still got either lunch or you supper or whatever you want to help us with. I'd rather do something than not do anything. Can you say amen? Because I believe God is going to do tremendous things, not because of us, but because of the obedience of it. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I believe that scripture. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you. Touch your neighbor. He said he's going to encourage us. You need to be here tonight. I know there's some kind of game on tonight. I'm not sure. It's called super. But I wouldn't want to miss the supernatural for something that's temporary. Yes. Come on, somebody. The Lord has been blessing and moving, and we're just excited for what He's doing. I want to encourage you to be here tonight. Brother Dawes, what's going to happen? I don't know. I just know what's going to happen. And it's going to happen this morning as well, because He's here. And as long as God is here, there's liberty. Can you say amen? Have you found Psalms? Psalms 34, beginning of verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Father, we thank You and we praise You and we magnify Your holy and precious name. We give You and You alone the glory and the honor and the praise. We thank You that Your love does defend us. Lord, that the battle is already won. Lord Jesus, that You've already won the victory, because through You we are more than conquerors, through You who have loved us. And we give You praise. And Lord, today as we look into Your word, God, speak to our hearts, oh God. Let Your presence become so even, Lord, even in a greater measure in our hearts and our lives right now and in this service. God, I pray, Lord, if there's any person with a need, Lord, let Your love and Your mercy and Your grace, Lord, minister to them right now. And Lord, in just a few moments, as we respond to You, as we allow You and make a way and surrender those things to You that need to be surrendered, so, Lord, we can walk out of this place differently than when we walked in. God, I need Your anointing in a desperate way this morning. I'm unable to do any of this without You. But Lord, Your anointing destroys the yoke of our flesh. Lord, let Your anointing rest upon each and every person in this house and let those listening over the internet or by CD. God, and we give You the glory and honor, and all God's people said. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. The last two or three weeks, we've been doing a series called Lord, Sharpen Our Senses. And today, we're going to talk about our spiritual taste. You said, Brother Doss, don't you know this is the last day of a fast and you're talking about tasting something? You were already talking about food a while ago in the middle of everything else going on. But as we're coming to an end of this 21 days of fasting and praying, seeking the Lord to do in and through us that which He desires, and we are so earnestly in need of in our hearts and our lives for Him to accomplish those things. Just because this time of fasting and prayer is ending does not mean we need to stop praying. Can you say amen? Because what God is going to do is going to last far beyond today, tomorrow, next week, next month, even next year. We talked about a quote that Abraham Lincoln made. Give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. What have we been doing the last few weeks? We've been sharpening the axe, getting the axe ready. We are the axe. We are the tool in God's hand. Getting the axe ready to be able to go out and do the things that God would have us to do in the most effective way. Our theme, again, has been, Lord, sharpen our senses. 2 weeks ago, we looked at, Lord, sharpen our spiritual sight, our spiritual vision. And we saw that if we're going to be able to see clearly outside, we must first begin looking within. We saw that through that we are truly only able to see and be able to help others when we see and recognize our own weaknesses or shortcomings, and with the Lord's help, make those corrections that need to be made and ask the Lord to strengthen us in those areas. It's then and only then, as we look within and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. It's only as we get our hearts right that we can reach out and begin to help and minister to others. Can you say amen? We saw last week that it was our spiritual ears that needed sharpening. We needed to sharpen our spiritual hearing. And just like with our spiritual vision, our spiritual hearing is critical in our walk with the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our ability to overcome, our ability to conquer, our ability to prevail, our ability to be victorious is directly related to how we hear, obey, and put into place and practice in our lives the things the Lord has spoken, the things He is speaking, and the things He will speak to us by His Spirit. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening, or what are our ears tuned to? Lord, sharpen our spiritual senses. Sharpen our hearing that we may hear Your voice. This week we want to look at, ask the Lord to sharpen our spiritual taste or our spiritual appetite. As we said, we've been in a time of 21 days of prayer and fasting. The very purpose of spiritual fasting is to not deny ourselves the things that feed our flesh, our physical, natural man. The very purpose of spiritual fasting, we're not fasting to lose weight. That'll be a part of it. I was blessed by one of our senior saints that told me her and her husband have been fasting a certain thing. And God's been doing not only some work in their hearts and their lives, but on the side note, he's lost 10 pounds and all his sugar levels have come way down and they've improved. It just helps all the way around. Can you say amen? That's a blessing. That's a testimony to fasting and praying. Can you say amen? But the very purpose of spiritual fasting is to deny ourselves the things that feed our flesh, the physical, natural man, and to begin hungering for the things of God in a greater way, in order that we may feed our spiritual man, that you and I may draw closer to the Lord, that we can be and become all that He would have us to be and to become, so that you and I can be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, as the Apostle Paul wrote. So we can experience the fullness of His blessings, the fullness of His promises, the fullness of His presence, and the fullness of His power in and through our lives. Can you say amen? Lord, sharpen our senses, especially our spiritual taste. When we speak of spiritual taste this morning, I want to make some things clear. We are speaking of things that we hunger for, things that we desire for, things that we long for, things that we seek after, our appetites that we work so hard in so many ways to fulfill. The question is then, we want to look at this, is what are we hungering for? What are we hungering? What are you hungering for? What are we trying to satisfy our taste is with? Because there's only one place that we will find true satisfaction. The world you and I live in is consumed with seeking to satisfy their own wants, their own longings, their own lusts, their own desires. But even at its best, it leaves that person empty, hungry, and unsatisfied spiritually completely. When we're looking to satisfy the hunger in our souls from the things of the world and the things of our flesh, we will wind up empty, dry, and broken every time. How do we know this? Because the Word of God declares it. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7 says, "All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. All the labor of man is for his mouth, for his appetite, for his longing, for his desire. And yet his soul is not satisfied. In other words, most of the labor of the natural man is done in order to satisfy his own desires, his own wants, his own lust. But at the end of the day, his soul is unsatisfied. But for you and I, church, as believers, say believers. As you and I, as believers, that's not what God wants for us. Can you say amen? He desires that our souls be satisfied, and not only be satisfied, but be filled and fulfilled. Can you say amen? In order that we may partake of the fullness of his goodness, of the fullness of his love, of the fullness of his mercy, of the fullness of his grace. He wants us to be full. Can you say amen? But in order to do that, we have to have a taste, a longing, and a desire to partake of the things of the Lord so that our souls will be satisfied. The psalmist is basically encouraging us by asking us a question, by kind of declaring us, by leading us in this way. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you say amen? I want you to know something. I have studied that. I have seen that. I have experienced that. Every time I've tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord, it is a fulfilling experience. Can you say amen? Anybody else got a witness out there? You've tasted the goodness of the Lord. Can you say amen? Verse 9 says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. That word want means there's no lack. There's no disparaging. There's no emptiness. When we fear the Lord, when we're hungering and thirsting after the things of God, there is no want to them who fear him. That's just not something that's written that the psalmist had to fill in the gap. That is a promise from the Lord. You won't have any want. Can you say amen? He goes on to say in verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Can you say amen? What another promise. Though when we're seeking after God, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The question is, what are we hungering for today? We're not talking about just taking a taste, just taking a little nibble from time to time, but to taste and partake and to keep on partaking of the goodness of the Lord. Because once you've tasted of his goodness, you won't be able to find satisfaction in any other place. Can you say amen? But too many are hungering for the wrong things. Too many are hungering for the wrong things today. And sad to say, many Christians are hungering for things that may not be sinful in itself, but yet are not what's best for their spiritual well-being. Paul alluded to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. He makes this statement. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Amen. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. He goes on a little bit later, says, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I'm not going to let those things that are not helping me, that's not building me up, that's not helping me in my spiritual growth, I'm not going to let those things control my life. I will not be brought under the power of those things that are not helpful. He says, all things are lawful, but not everything's helpful. That word helpful means better for, good for, profitable for. All things may be lawful, but not everything is profitable for me. It's not good for me. It's not better for me. All things may be lawful for me, but all things don't edify, to build up, to restore, to repair, to rebuild. I like this definition. To promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, and blessedness. Not everything out there is going to promote my spiritual well-being. Can you say amen? In church, we know this. There's a lot of things out there that are vying for our attention, promising that you will be satisfied, fulfilled, complete, happy, and whole if you'll just try this product, read this book, go to this place and experience this thing. You will find happiness. You will be whole. Friends, if it's not based in Jesus Christ, if it's not founded upon the rock, it is empty and will leave you unfulfilled and unsatisfied. Can you say amen? But there's a lot of things. Wall Street and marketing schemes are going out trying to reach people, and people are buying into it over and over again. People are turning to a lot of different things, trying to satisfy the emptiness that's in. Within, they're tasting and partaking a lot of different things. Drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, pornography. Oh, Brother Dawes, you said the S word, sexual immorality. My God, you're hearing it every day out there. It's time to hear it in the church, but in the right way. Come on, somebody. Sexual immorality is still sin. When a man and woman live together outside of the holy bonds of matrimony, it's still sin. When teenagers or even adults have sexual relations outside the bonds of marriage, it's still sin. They're trying to fulfill something in their lives. Materialism, popularity, power and position, social media, sports and recreation, career focused, education focused, achieving a place, trying to achieve a place that makes them happy, and whatever they have to do to get there. Again, let me share this. There are some of these things that are not bad in themselves. It's good to want a good education. It's good to be focused on your career. It's good to want to have nice things. It's good to want to have a nice home and a nice vehicle. All those things are okay as long as they do not take priority above your relationship with Christ and what He would have for you to have. He wants better for you than you and I want for ourselves. But the thing about it, He knows how to get it to us in the right way when we submit ourselves to Him. Anytime something becomes a priority above all else, especially above our relationship with the Lord, when you obtain to that or you almost get there, it will leave you empty, unsatisfied, and unfulfilled. Brother Dawes, I don't believe some of those things are a problem. Oh, really? Why is the drug epidemic? It's not just illegal drugs now. It's prescription drugs. And it's not just affecting a certain age group or a certain race. It's affecting people across the board. It's affecting people in our churches. Why? Because they're trying to cope. They're tasting of something, trying to solve the emptiness that's on the inside. They're thinking if they can partake of that, that it's going to help them. Why are so many folks, alcoholism is going up. One of the biggest issues within the Assemblies of God right now, especially, believe it or not, it started in California, it's coming this way. They want to say it's all right to drink in moderation. My Bible tells me, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And if I do anything that causes my brother to stumble, I'm in trouble. God has called us to a higher level of holiness. Can you say amen? Amen. Why then is alcoholism going through the roof? People market it. It's marketed. That game that's going to be on this afternoon or this evening, there's no telling how many of those commercials are going to be on there. Oh, and they may look at it. I don't know why I'm hitting on this so much. They make it look like, oh, it's so good to drink it. You can drink your little wine and you can drink your little beer, and or you can choose the right bourbon and you'll be cool, or the right tequila and you'll be cool. I'm not going to partake of something that's going to leave me feeling worse the next day. Can you say amen? But when I'm drinking of the things of the Spirit, I have found He's never left me feeling worse the next day. Can you say amen? I feel refreshed. I feel energized. I feel because you're tasting of the right thing instead of the wrong thing. Can you say amen? Our membership. We're going to have membership Sunday. Our membership, one of our standards of membership. If you signed a membership card in this church, this is still the standard of membership for Ozark First Assembly, that I will not drink anything of intoxicating beverage. I will refrain from that. Didn't say I'll drink a little bit. It said I will refrain from that. When I signed that card as an AG minister, I signed that as my word being on that line. And if I'm going to stand before God, I'm going to be a man of my word. Amen. Come on, somebody. People are hungering for the wrong kind of things. Are you with me this morning? But all those things leave us empty, unsatisfied, and unfulfilled. Jesus said it best. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What good is it if we have tasted and are full of the best the world has to offer, but yet our soul is empty? Jesus said it is of absolutely no advantage. If we've tasted everything this world has to offer and we lose our soul is still empty. It is of absolutely no advantage. Jesus also said, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves can break through and steal. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. But I want to tell you, before I can lay up a treasure up there, I have to have that thing treasured in here. I have to have partaken of that. I have to have tasted that. I have to have received that. I have to have ingested that. And it had to become a treasure for me right here before I can say, Lord, I'm going to lay it up in heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. Before I can lay it for a treasure up there, it's got to be laid up for a treasure in here. That's why it's so important, church, to be careful of what we are consuming, partaking, and hungering for, and tasting for. Only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost have what we need to truly satisfy the soul. Psalms 107, verse 8 says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungering soul with goodness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. See, it's only, y'all still with me this morning? Boy, I done lost half of you. See, it is only through Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his burial and resurrection, his love, his mercy and grace, that you and I can taste and partake of the goodness of God. It's only through Jesus Christ that you and I can taste and partake of the goodness of God. It's only through his sacrifice that he made. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Jesus tasted death for everyone. When he died on the cross, it was for the whole world, past, present, and future. Can you say? He tasted death for everyone. What does that mean? When he tasted death, he knew that's why he came into the world. He knew that was his task. He who was the giver of life, he who helped create the heavens and the earth, he who is life himself, life God incarnate, tasted death for everyone. Can you say amen? When he tasted death, he tasted the full separation from the Father. When the Father had to look on him and turn away his head because he placed my sin and your sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He felt the full separation for the first time, the separation from his Father. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He who knew no sin, had never experienced sin, had never yielded to sin, became sin for us. And all of a sudden, he who knew no sin felt the weight of the sin of the whole world come down upon his heart and his mind and his spirit. He was tasting death. He felt the pain of a broken humanity. He felt the hurt and the sin and the failure of a broken humanity. But had he not tasted death, you and I would never be able to taste of the goodness of God. Had he not tasted death, this world would have been, to save this world would have been impossible. Can you say amen? This was the only task that he resisted his father just a little bit. This was the only task that he resisted his father because he knew what kind of taste death would have. That's why he prayed in the garden, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Lord, I don't want to taste this." But then he goes on to say something else. It's not up there, Vicky. "Oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." But he tasted death so you and I could have life. He tasted death so I could have life. And not just life, he said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." But in order for you and I to experience that, he had to taste death for us. Can you say amen? He tasted death that we might taste life and partake of the goodness of the Father. That's why he and he alone can only truly satisfy the hungry soul. How do we truly allow God to sharpen our spiritual taste, then, Pastor Doss? How do we truly allow God to sharpen our spiritual taste? We're going to do a little acrostic with the word taste, T-A-S-T-E. I think that's how you spell it. I hope so anyway. If it ain't, we got a messed up acrostic. T, say T. Turn away from any and everything that hinders your walk with the Lord. Keep in mind, even those things that are not helpful, even those things that are not, does not edify or build you up, you're going to have to put those things on the back burner. James chapter 1 verse 14 says this, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Notice Satan is not in the picture here. It's us. We can't blame them. Most of y'all don't know who Flip Wilson is. I was telling my age. Had a character named Geraldine. "The devil made me do it." No, the devil ain't never made you do anything you didn't want to do. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own hungerings, his own desires, his own lusting, his own longings, and enticed. Amen. Then when those things have conceived, when they give birth to your life, they bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. We've got to turn away from those things. Can you say amen? Amen. I love Pastor. See, even in the Christian community, we like being entertained. As long as it makes us feel good. As long as we have a little shout, a little song, somebody tell us we're doing all right, we're satisfied. But something that entertains but does not transform leaves emptiness. We can sing worship songs all day long, but if nothing is happening in here, you can go to the greatest, latest speaker, but if nothing is happening in here, if nothing is changing in your heart, if nothing is changing in your life, if you're not being transformed into the image of Christ, if you're going back outside and living the same way you did when you walked in the door, you've been entertained. You've not been transformed. In this day and hour, I don't need anything that's going to tickle my fancy. I'm needing something that's going to convict my heart, convict my life, and draw me closer to him. Can you say amen? I wish somebody would get in here with me. I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying. "Behold, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." But when we can worship and it transforms our heart and our life, when we can go hear a speaker, when we can read the latest religious book that's out. See, the Bible, there's a lot of folks out there making merchandise of folks. They're making money. Jesus didn't call us to make money. He called us to make disciples. Come on, somebody. Y'all with me today? Turn away from those things. Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Got to hurry. Turn away. A, acquire. Acquire a taste and even greater hunger for the things of God and His Word. Have you heard this saying? Well, it's an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste. That word acquired means to gain by or as a result of effort or experience. Let me tell you, if you're going to acquire a taste for the things of God, it's going to be by choice. See, because our natural man, our natural inclination wants to feed this flesh. Wants to feed this flesh. Paul had a struggle with it. He said, the things I know I should do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those things I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from the body of flesh? But then he talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? It's an acquired taste. Job said this, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I'm hungry and thirsty after the things of God more than my necessary food. How did Job have the relationship with God like he did way back then? How was Job able to hold fast in the midst of his long, dark night of trial that went on for weeks and possibly months? How was he able to hold fast in the midst of that? He had an acquired taste for God and his purpose and his presence long before he ever went into the trial. And when he came out, he came forth as gold. Can you say amen? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. What are we hungering for today? S, seek the Lord above all else. Seek the Lord above all else. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Why was Jesus saying this? Because he's trying to get us two things, to quit worrying and quit being so dependent upon ourselves. In fact, he says in a couple of verses before this, he says, why are you worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and the house you're going to live in? He said, all these things the Gentiles seek after. He said, and how much are you going to make yourself grow by worrying one about that stuff? Why are we so worried about what we're eating? Keep in mind, he's not just talking about the physical. He's also talking about the spiritual. Why are we so worried about keeping up with everything the world's keeping up with? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says, I'll take care of you. Psalms 34:10. I love what it says. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Can you say amen? T, are y'all still with me? Trust God. Trust God to do what he says. Trust God to do what he says he will, no matter what anyone says and no matter what the circumstance or situation says. And as you're trusting him, stand upon his word. Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor their descendants begging bread. I've been young and now I'm old. I'm there, getting there quickly. Man, when years ago 60 was old. It's 4 years away. It's getting younger all the time. But from then till now, I've never seen a righteous person forsaken or their seed have to beg for something that doesn't satisfy. Can you say amen? God has promised that he will satisfy not only our physical needs, but our spiritual hunger as well. E, endeavor to keep your taste tuned into the things of God and his word. That's what Job did. He said, I have not forsaken his commandments. Let me just read it again. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Psalms 119, verses 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Endeavor to keep your taste tuned into things of God and his word, because the minute we start desiring the taste and hungering for the things of this world, that's when we begin to get into trouble. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, wait a minute. Oh, let's see. Does that mean the scripture contradicts itself? Let me read. Is it up there? Maybe my Bible's not right. Let's see. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But wasn't it Jesus that said that blessed are they that hunger and thirst for after righteousness, for they shall be filled? Is he contradicting himself? Absolutely not. Jesus is saying this. As long as we are hungering and thirsting for him and his righteousness, we won't be hungering for the things of this world and the things of our flesh. You won't have to go anywhere. He's a one-stop shopper. Can you say amen? Amen? But it also means that he will satisfy and take care of our needs emotionally, physically, but especially spiritually. But it also includes the promise of being filled that Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, blessed are they that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with what? What are they going to be filled with? We're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We're going to be filled with his joy. Jesus said, my joy I have given you, that your joy may be what? Half full. No, he said, that your joy may be full. We will be filled with his peace. Peace that passes all understanding. We will be filled with his strength, and his strength is made perfect when? In our weakness. We will be filled with his presence. We will be filled with his power. We will be filled with his blessing. We will be filled with that inner satisfaction. We will be filled with his love, filled with his grace, filled with assurance, filled with hope, filled with faith, all because we are hungering and thirsting for the right things. We've got our taste in line with the Lord's taste. Can you say amen? That's why he can say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is no want to them who fear him. Can you say amen? See, the joy, the peace, the hope, the assurance, all those things, that's what the world is hungering for, but they're hungering for in the wrong place, and they will never find it because it's only in one place, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only in him, church. It's only in him. All because we are tasting and hungering and longing for a relationship with God that he desires and we so desperately need. What are you hungering for today? Who, what, where have you been tasting? Or you may be here and say, I want to taste and see the Lord's goodness in a greater way in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. disciples were with Jesus one day, and they stopped by a well. Don't know why it took all of them, but all of them went into town to try to buy some food. Meanwhile, while Jesus met a woman that came out to the well, had a terrible testimony. She had 5 husbands. The man she was living with at the present time was not her husband. But Jesus already knew that that encounter was going to take place. Jesus didn't judge her. He didn't condemn her. He just told her who he was. Basically said, ma'am, you've been hungering and you've been thirsting for the wrong things. And none of those things has satisfied you. He says, but I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. If you'll just taste of me, you'll find forgiveness. You'll find healing. You'll find hope. You will find self-esteem. I believe the woman did, because she went back to town. She left her shame and her pot there at the well. She came back to town. She said, come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. It's not this, not the Christ. His disciples came back and they had the groceries. Hallelujah. It's 12 o'clock. It's time to eat. Glory to God. They said, Jesus, come on and let's eat. He says, I'm not hungry. He says, because I've been feasting at the master's table. He said, I've got food to eat that you don't know about yet. But church, we know about it. See, that woman found satisfaction. She came there with her physical bucket and left it sitting there, but left full of that living water. Can you say amen? She came empty inside, but she left full. Because she met Jesus. Have you been hungering for the wrong things? Have you been tasting the wrong? Have you allowed your priorities to get off center a little bit? It's time to make things right with God. It's time to make things right with God. I said, Brother Dawes, how long does it take? As quick as you can turn away from those things and turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He wants to fill you today. You may be here and say, Brother Doss, I've been hungry and I'm thirsty. I've been doing this time of fasting. But I want to be fuller. I want to be filled more. More of his joy, more of his peace, more of his strength, more of his presence, more of his power, more of the anointing of his Holy Spirit. I want more. With Christ, there is no limit.